Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on this Monday, June 24th of 2019. Hey, we made it to the first day of summer. Now, the first day of summer was 3 days ago. And we've replaced the low temperatures we were experiencing with more summer-like ones. Now, the first 2 days of summer, we were in the mid-70s, just below normal, by like 3 degrees. But then the last 2 days, we were at normal or just above. And the 7 day forecast has us being generally sunny to mostly sunny skies and highs in the low to mid 80s. So pretty steady for the most part. Lows about the mid 60s on the warmest nights and around 60. On the cool ones, so very typical. So, here's what's funny. When you look at these climate normals, Annie, you may have noticed this too. It's always assumed that there will be some precipitation every day of the year.
Yes.
Or is that just averaging everything out? That's all it is?
After you average it. Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, imagine if it actually rained every day.
Yeah, and a lot of places are like that, though.
If it actually rained the 0.12 or 0.13 every day, 0.15, it would have that average daily precipice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But in order to do like that, so the average for the year, you couldn't have the over 1 inch. You couldn't have the 0.5 inches days. You couldn't have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you also couldn't have a boatload of no rain days. You know?
Yep. I think we've already had more than enough rain for the whole summer, in my opinion.
I think it's 20 inches right now. No, 22.
Okay.
Obviously, Flint is more reliable because they have that full station.
Okay.
The official NWS. The one at Saginaw doesn't go back as far. Remember I said that?
Yes, I remember.
On the summer, and then tomorrow, what's special about tomorrow, listeners? It means we're halfway back to Christmas.
Huh.
We're halfway back to Christmas. And I remember last year was the first time I thought about it because I heard him say something about it on the radio.
I always thought it was in July. Like, that's why they did the whole Christmas in July thing.
Well, when you look at it at a calendar standpoint, tomorrow's the halfway point.
6 months?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
So it said, listeners, when you think about it, it should really be Christmas in June.
Yeah.
By the way, listeners, I'm really thinking about a Christmas song that I can change some of the lyrics to make it about summer. Because after all, we did just have the summer solstice. I was thinking of maybe Summer Wonderland, or was also thinking of It's a Marshmallow World, and said it could be I'm still thinking about what it's gonna be, but I'll let you know tomorrow because I'm gonna share it with you guys. Though it is halfway to Christmas, summer just started, so kind of a compromise, but still, why not, right? Why not? Because we'll just see. But we'll see what happens. Also, I want to let you know that in a couple that next week I'm gonna be in Alabama. I'll be in down in the south. Monday I'll be in Alabama. Tuesday night and Wednesday night I'll be in Tennessee. I plan on doing at least one show and possibly two next week. However, time zone is going to be 1 hour earlier. What I mean by that is this. Nashville is an hour behind us. Right now, it is approximately 6:35. We just passed over 6:36, 6:37. In Nashville, it's like 5:37.
Isn't Alabama too?
So as is Alabama also. But I was just saying because Nashville and Alabama both are. Tennessee, by the way, folks, Tennessee is kind of a funny state about this. Because in East Tennessee, you are in the Eastern time zone, as is everything along I-75, everything, including Florida, where 75 doesn't go to the panhandle, so it's not in the little blob of Florida that's in the central. Whereas I-65, you're like 365 plus 150, about 515 miles, and then you got Bowling Green, 535. Indiana is almost 300 miles that you're on it. Just a tad bit more than half of I-65 is in the central time zone. That sounds about right. I call it half just to be safe.
Yeah.
Because on 65, Alabama and Indiana are the longest states, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then Kentucky. But Bowling Green, I think, is in the central. I think
so, too.
Or it's right on the line. What would be weird would be if one part of the city was and one part of the city wasn't. That'd be funny.
Yeah, it wouldn't be surprising, though.
Did you ever hear that story on the news, hear a story on the news about a city in Indiana or something where the time zone change was in an elementary gym?
What? No, I've never heard that.
But obviously this school probably functions based on the later time zone, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's so weird.
But that would be so funny.
It would.
Like, to live on one street, we'll say this is somewhere in Kentucky on a town right near I-65. And we'll say that it's in, like, a residential neighborhood or something, and you're right near I-65. On one side, we'll say it's 4:30 in the afternoon. We'll say it's Eastern time zone, it's 4:30. But couple houses down the block, it's 3:30.
Yeah, well, it's got to stop and start somewhere, right?
Right. One reason why I think it should be only two time zones in America, and yes, always determined by state borders, not by wannabe barriers. Don't you think, same thing, it should always be determined by state border?
Yeah.
Meaning in this case, all of like all of Kentucky, all of Tennessee should be on this time zone to match that of the rest of the East, whereas Alabama could possibly stay in line with Mississippi, Louisiana. Plus that allows for tradition, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So like if that's the way they've done it. So even if you didn't change the time zones, maybe just redraw. I'd be for them being redrawn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then that way, no state is in two time zones. Wait a minute. But it's supposed to be continual. So because part of Alabama goes down to the Panhandle, that means all of Florida would have to be the same time zone.
Yeah.
So Alabama would end up having to go to east, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Whereas Mississippi and Louisiana, those could stay as is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's no question on this, but sometimes it's something different to bring up. My point is about the whole time zone thing, as listeners, is I am not sure yet what time I'm going to do my show. Or so. It might be at a different time, depending on all we do that day. On Tuesday or Wednesday, if I do one of those two, I'll do it maybe at like 7:30 maybe or something, run it to like 8:15 or 8:30 Tennessee time. So like, or I might just run it for like 40 minutes or something to kind of just impart some verses into you and mainly share with you, tell you about what I've been up to, you know, with the trip and that, and what southern stuff have I had? What southern stuff do I still have yet to go to? As far as the food places. Because every time I go down there, I try to, these days, every time I go down there, if I can, now sometimes, lately I haven't, but generally every time I go, I try to find a different southern fast food or sit-down chain that I've never been to before and go to it. What is Holler and Dash? Have you heard of Holler and Dash?
I have not.
It's supposed to be the Cracker Barrel for millennials. What I'm curious about is, does it have southern origins? Does it have, you know?
Yeah, I really don't know. It sounds like it, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, Holler and Dash. But I hope that it still focuses on some idea of, like, the whole southern food thing and not trying to water it down and urbanize it, because Zaxby's, although it's from the South, it is very urbanized. Is that a good way to put it?
I don't think so, no.
But like, when you see the chicken tenders and fries, chicken fingers and fries, instead of seeing an option like fried chicken and mashed potatoes, you know? Did you feel like they had a more traditional option when you went to?
I thought so, yeah.
You feel like original they were more strictly urban, but then you felt like they expanded to more traditional options also.
That's a possibility.
Because, which I would greatly welcome, and I give actually kind of pretty high props to KFC for that, because theirs is pretty good, but mind you, it's not the same as some of the other places I've been to. Like Champy's Fried Chicken and some of that other stuff. And obviously in Alabama, they're really known for good barbecue. And I've been looking up places that are like in Jasper, and there's a couple that look pretty good. And I gotta kind of narrow it down. And who knows, you all will meet. The weather at this time looks pretty normal for down there. So highs right about 90 degrees. And generally, Alabama is humid, so I'm glad we got the humidity today. Because then it won't feel unusually oppressive, you know?
Yeah.
And we wonder why. Too bad there's no steam room where you can set it to, like, how Alabama usually is, you know? And just sit there. Because then you get used to it, you know?
Yeah.
And then I throw my dad in it, too. You know? Because then... Because after all, it's summer.
Exactly.
And I do not like it when people complain about it being too hot and humid. We complain enough about it being too cold in the winter. And I had teachers tell me this. They told me, well, would you rather have this or would you rather have it be 5 below 0? And I said, well... By the way, Terry Gilstead, Mr. T, was one of them that asked me that. And I said, well, I suppose I'd rather have this. You know? That's why now I won't really whine about it. And if I say the humidity's bad, that's just being honest, you know? Because then it gets to, like, where it's harder to breathe, you know? And I heard one preacher say, and he said this. He lived in Florida. He's now in heaven with the Lord, but he said, you know, in Florida, sometimes you just about have to have gills to breathe down there. You know, gills like some of the sea animals have. That's pretty funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then, and then Dr. Barclay says, well, up here in the wintertime, our skin all dries out and everything else, you know? So glad you could join us tonight. Whatever device you may be listening on, we're so glad you could join us. My hope is that you receive something from the Lord tonight. And by the way, to cap off my trip, I will be heading to Friday night Dominion Camp meeting at World Harvest in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm just believing the Lord for a 7 times greater anointing to be there. And speaking of meetings and conferences, tomorrow night through Friday night, Dr. Barclay is doing a conference in Florida. My point is that I'm going to stream that as much as of the services as I can. So, like, tomorrow night and Wednesday night, I'll be doing my show until 8 o'clock, after which I'll go home and turn on the service. Thursday night, I'll have church, and then I'll be going home with my parents to get ready to go to Alabama. And then after our service is done, I'll be turning on conference. And then Friday night, we'll be driving for a little bit of it, but then once we get to the hotel, we'll be screaming until it's done for the night. And I encourage you to stream the conference. I got to make sure I have the right website. I will find that out and let you know tomorrow night so you can avail yourself to that. Praise the Lord. One reason I say this is because we all know that faith comes by hearing, not reading. So if you need some faith to be built up in you, you're going through some things and you're just believing God to change some things, if you go to a church and they only have one service a week, that's not enough. So this can be a great opportunity for you to get even more word in you. When you hear what Dr. Barclay has to say as he does this Holy Spirit conference down there in Jacksonville. And here's the funny thing. You would have been driving real close to Jacksonville right as Dr. Barclay was preaching.
I was thinking that earlier this week before I canceled the trip.
And you would say, and then you would what would be so funny would be if that church was right next to I-95. I could just see Dr. Barclay coming out to that freeway. Hey, 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 you. I thought you were here to see me. I thought you were here to come to my conference. What are you doing going to that beach?
Uh-huh.
That'd be pretty funny if that actually happened, wouldn't it? He'd be like, wait. I know, right? You know, because I was thinking that, but... So, listeners, I want to encourage you to tell everyone you know about this great show and how they can be a part of it. Now we're going to pray, and then I'm going to open up the Word of God to 1 Kings chapter 5. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great program tonight. I thank you for all of these listeners who have made the choice to tune in tonight, wherever they may be, however they're accessing this program. I just thank you, Lord God. You bless God. And they receive something from you tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that you use me as an oracle tonight as we study your word for a little bit. And I make my confession over this radio program. I say, Lord God, that sponsors and partners are coming into this radio program. Increases in listenership are coming into this program. Finances are coming into this program. And most importantly, souls are coming into this kingdom via this program. And I give you praise and honor and all the glory for that forever and ever. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter number 5. As I said. Amen. 1 Kings. Actually, let's go to 7. He does chapter 5 and 6 is where he's building the temple. So I want to go to chapter 7. And we're going to begin with verse number 1. And it took Solomon 13 years, however, to complete the construction of his palace. 13 years? These days, they'd be like, what kind of project is that, right?
Yeah.
build his palace. Well, there's two. And he built the palace of the forest of Lebanon, 100 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. The four rows of cedar columns supporting trimmed cedar beams. It was roofed with cedar above the beams that rested on the columns. 45 beams, 15 to a row. And its windows were placed high and set of three facing each other. And all the doorways had rectangular frames. They were in the front part in sets of three facing each other. And he made a colonnade 50 cubits long and 30 cubits wide. In front of it was a portico. In front of that were pillars and an overhanging roof. He built the throne hall, the hall of justice, where he was to judge, and he covered it with cedar from floor to ceiling. And the palace in which he was to live, he sent further back, was similar in design. Solomon also made a palace like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had married. All these structures, from the outside to the great courtyard, and from foundation to eaves, were made of blocks of high-grade stone, cut to size and trimmed with a saw on their inner and outer faces. The foundations were laid with large stones of good quality, some measuring 10 cubits and some measuring 8. Above were high-grade stones cut to size and cedar beams. The great courtyard was surrounded by a wall of three quarts of dressed stone and one quart of trimmed cedar beams, as was the inner courtyard of the temple of the Lord with its portico. I'm going to skip this part because it's talking about the furnishings. Let's look at the ark being brought to the temple. We'll go into chapter 8. Then King Solomon summoned into his presence at Jerusalem the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes, and the chiefs of the Israelite families, to bring up the ark of the Lord covenant from Zion, the city of David. All of the men of Israel came together to King Solomon at the time of the festival in the month of Ethanim, the seventh month. When all the elders of Israel had arrived, the priests took up the ark and brought up the ark of the Lord and the tent of meeting and all of the sacred furnishings in it. The priests and the Levites carried them up, and King Solomon and the entire assembly of Israel that had gathered about him before the ark, sacrificing with many sheep and cattle. So many sheep and cattle that they could not be recorded or counted. The priest then brought the ark of the Lord's covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place. Put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark and overshadowed the ark and its carrying poles. These poles were so long that their ends could not be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but not from outside the holy place. And they are still there today. There was nothing in the ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. When the priest withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud. The glory of the Lord filled his temple. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in a dark cloud. I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever, while the whole assembly of Israel was standing there, the king turned around and he blessed them. Then he said, 'Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his own hand has fulfilled what he promised with his own mouth, my father David. For he said, since the day I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have not chosen a city in any tribe of Israel to have a temple built for my name to be there. But I have chosen David to rule my people Israel. My father David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well to have this in your heart. Nevertheless, you are not the one to build the temple, but your son, who is your own flesh and blood, he is the one who will build the temple for my name. The Lord has kept the promise that he made. I have succeeded David, my father, and now I sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised. For I have built the temple of the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. I have provided a place there for the ark, for which is the covenant of the Lord that he made with our fathers when he brought them up out of Egypt. Verse 22. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel. And he spread out his hand toward heaven and he said, O Lord God of Israel, there is pieces. Just fixing something really quick. He said, "Oh God, oh Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on the earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servant, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father, with your mouth. You have promised, and with your hand, you have fulfilled it. As it is today, now, Lord God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, 'You shall never fail to have a man to set before me on the throne of Israel, if only your sons are careful in all they do to walk before me as you have done.' And now, O God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple that I have built? Yet give attention to your servant's prayer. And I plead for mercy, O Lord my God. Hear the cry of the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day. This place of which you said, 'My name shall be there,' so that you will hear the prayer that your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and of your forgive. When a man wrongs his neighbor and he's required to take an oath, and he comes and spares the oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act. Judge between your servants, condemning the guilty and bringing down on his own head what he has done. Declare the innocent not guilty, and so establish his innocence. When your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you,
Hi. We know you.
And
yeah.
When they turn back to you,
Hi.
And
hey,
confess
buddy.
Your name, hello, in prayer and making supplication to you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel, and bring them back to the land you gave their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and they confess your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servant, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live, and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. When famine or plague comes to the land, or blight, or mildew, locusts, or grasshoppers, or when an enemy besieges them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by any of your people Israel, each one aware of the affliction of his own heart, and spreading out his hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place. Forgive and act. Deal with each man according to all he does, since you know his heart. In parentheses, for you alone know the heart of all men, end parentheses, so that they will fear you all the time they live in the land you gave our fathers. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name, for men will hear of your great name and your mighty hand, for your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward which temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all of the peoples of the earth may know your name and hear you as from your own people Israel. You may know this house I have built bears your name. When your people go to war against their enemies, I'll send them, when they pray to the Lord toward the city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, then hear from heaven the prayer and their plea, and uphold their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them, and you give them over to the enemy, who takes them captive by his own land, far away or near. And if they have a change of heart in the land where they are held captive, and repent and plead with you in the land of their conquerors, and say, we have sinned, we have done wrong, we have acted wickedly, they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their enemies, who took them captive, and they pray to you toward the land you gave their fathers, toward the city you have chosen for the temple I have built for your name, and from heaven, your dwelling place. Hear their prayer and their plea, and uphold their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. And forgive all the offenses that they have committed against you. Cause the conquerors to show them mercy, for they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt. out of that iron, the iron smelting furnace, may your eyes be open to your servant's plea and to the plea of your people Israel. And may you listen to them whenever they cry out to you. For you singled them out from all the nations of the world to be your own inheritance, just as you declared through your servant Moses, when you, O sovereign Lord, brought our fathers up out of Egypt. When Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplication to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. He stood and he blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave to his servants, Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. And may he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep the commands, decrees, and regulations that he gave our fathers. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God, day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, according to each day's need, so that all of the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is no other. But your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and to obey his commands, as at this time." Then the king of all Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord. Solomon offered a sacrifice of fellowship offerings to the Lord, 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. But the king and all the Israelites dedicated the temple of the Lord. That same day, the king consecrated the middle part of the courtyard in front of the temple of the Lord. And there he offered burnt offerings, grain offerings, and the fat fellowship offerings, because the bronze altar before the Lord was too small to hold the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat as a fellowship offering. So Solomon observed the festival at that time. And all Israel with him, a vast assembly, people, from Lebohamah to the waves of Egypt, they celebrated it before the Lord our God for 7 days, 7 days more, 14 days in all. On the following day, he sent the people away. They blessed the king and then went home, joyful and glad in heart for all of the good things the Lord had done for his servant David and his people Israel. Let me just check. All right. Well, a little bit shorter today, but not pleading. We only have 10 minutes left tonight, but you see, my favorite part of that whole thing is, you see, the glory cloud came in so thick. The glory cloud came into that newly built temple. That cloud was so thick that the priests could not do their duties. That glory cloud. That was like a train of glory. You know, when you've ever heard of any part of a song, and it says, "His train filled the temple, and the angels cried, and they sang, 'You are holy, Lord of all.'" That's pretty powerful when they're in a temple. You see, David built the house of God. He built a house under the Lord. But then something happened. What it was God said, "Well, David, I can tell that you have this on your heart. However, you're not the one I appointed to build this house. I appointed your son who will reign after you," which turned out to be Solomon. And this is part of why. Just because something you want to do may seem good, it may not be God. Because God knew that it was in David's heart to build that temple. But instead, someone else was appointed. Solomon. Which is why Solomon ended up building it. Which, by the way, it took 13 years to build it. That's 13 years is a lot of time to build a building. To build a building. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if it took 13 years to build a mall. 13 years to build a stadium. 13 years to build a... 13 years to build your house. You'd be like, who are these contractors? You'd want to know exactly who they are, wouldn't you?
Yep.
Who is building my building? Yeah. But it was... a really good chapter. Lord God, I pray that we would get this word in our hearts and that we would just pray to you, Lord God, and not just do something because it sounds good. Even if it's something we think you would approve of. Like how David built that house when someone else was appointed to do it later. And I thank you that we would just take this word to heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Now for a quick sports update. In terms of Palace news, did you see the latest Palace news today, Annie?
I did not.
The Palace is going to be torn down this fall.
That's bad.
It will not be. Well, it's on some of the most desirable land in the state of Michigan right now.
Yeah.
And
so what are they going to do?
It's probably going to become some kind of manufacturing thing, I would assume. And I was at my last Pistons game ever back in early February of 2017. The Pistons had maintained an office in the Palace since the closure almost 2 years ago. Now they will be moving out of that into downtown Detroit. And someone has bought it. Forget who. I'll let you know tomorrow who the buyer is. Also, in terms of athletic news, the Tigers lost. They got swept this last series by the Cleveland Indians for the second weekend in a row. Another weekend, another loss to Cleveland. And no, I'm not going to say that thing that starts with O. I'm not going to do it. Because this one I'm not proud of. The Pistons have lost 4 straight. Well, if you didn't know it, the Astros just lost 8 straight. They finally got a win last night. I know, I found it hard to believe when I found out Houston had lost 8 straight. Because it's not like Houston anymore.
No.
The Tigers do come back to Comerica starting tomorrow to take on the Texas Rangers. Normally it's don't mess with Texas. This time it should be mess Texas all the way up. So if the Tigers score a whole bunch of runs in the early innings, and then in the ninth inning, they end up getting rocked. Maybe there'll be a reason.
Maybe.
So maybe there'll be a reason for it, and then they'll have to learn their lesson. Don't mess with Texas. And you know, if they have a no pen, they should almost have a don't mess with Texas pen. You know, it could be like. Originally, I've been the voices like where he's telling your kids, don't mess with that. Don't mess with that thing. Don't mess with that thing. Don't mess with. Only they're all changed to don't mess with Texas. You know? That'd be kind of funny, actually, wouldn't it? All these different grandpas, maybe teachers, maybe, you know, just different people, just different. Some maybe well known, famous people, others not. That'd be pretty funny. That's been one of my favorite slogans about Texas. Don't mess with Texas, don't you think?
Yeah.
Wasn't there another big thing that said God bless Texas?
I don't know.
You know of it as is a song.
Yeah.
But until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody. Yeah.